Okay, let's start again. Good evening. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for the warm welcome. So, we are going to be learning this evening about the season of Geula, which we have entered, an exploration of the righteous women who have facilitated redemption. We are, of course, in the month of Adar. Purim is shortly upon us next week. Hayamim asher nachu behem hayehudim me'arveihem, like the days in which the Jews rested from their enemies. V'chodesh, and this is the month, asher nahapach lehem, the month of Adar change, miyagon l'simcha, from weariness, from sighing, from pain to joy. U'me'eva l'yom tov, and it changed from mourning to yom tov. La'asos osam yamei mishta v'simcha. These are the days of Mishtah, and Simcha, and Mishloach Manos, Ishtarei, Ehu, Umatanos, Le'avionim. And we're in the start in the season of Geula. Why, in a year when there are two others, when we have a leap year like this year, is Purim in Adar Sheni, and not in Adar Rishon. And the reason is we have a principle of Somchin Geula LeGeula. We want the Geula of Adar, and the rescuing from Haman and Achashverosh, and his plot to murder us all in one day, to be near the Geula of Pesach. So Chazal say, don't put Purim in the first Adar. You put Purim in the first Adar, then you're going to have a month in between with no Geula. So I'm Geula the Geula. You want the Geula of Adar to be near the Geula of Pesach. And therefore, this is really the season of Geula. It begins in Adar, then finishes, or makes a stop, I should say, in Nisan. But it does not finish there. It actually finishes with Zman Matan Torah Seinu. And I saw a beautiful var just recently brought down by the Kedushas Levi, and the Kedushas Levi says, if you daven Nusach Asfard in Kedusha on Shabbos, one of the things we say is, Hey Ba'alti Eskam Acharis Kereshis, behold, I will redeem you, Acharis, like the end, Kereshis, like the beginning, So the Kedushas Levi explains so beautifully, Hey Ba'alti Eskam, just like the Almighty redeemed us, Acharis, at the end of the year, Adar, because the Torah counts the months from Nisan, so if Nisan is month one, Adar is the final month of the year. Just like I redeemed you at the end of the year, Adar. Kereshis, I will redeem you when? In the beginning of the year, and that is Nisan. So Adar and Nisan go together. There are two times in which we celebrate the concept and the freedom that was granted to us by the Ribono Shel Olam. They are stops on the way to Sivan, which is the next stop in redemption, as Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, which is the first source on your hand. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, V'chol yom v'yom, bas kol yotzei smihar chorev. None of us are on the Madrega. I don't believe that we have ever heard the bas kol that emanates the heavenly voice that emanates, the divine voice that emanates from us, you know? And this divine voice, this gospel proclaims, and it says, Oilahem Lebrios, woe to creations, may Alvin Ashot Torah, who bring disgrace upon the Torah. Shapal, Yishaino Osek Batorah, Nikra Nazuf, anyone who does not Osek, who is not involved in a life of Torah, is like a bad person, Shemar, as the Pasuk says, Nezem Zahav Ba'av Chazir, a golden ring in the nose of a pig, Isha Yefa Visaras Tam. It is like a woman who is lacking in sense. So it might be very beautiful, a golden nose ring, but you put it in to the nose of a pig. It's like a woman who is lacking in sense, someone who abandons Torah, someone who does not involve himself in Torah, does not know his priorities, does not know where he belongs. Oilam Nebrius Me, Albanoshal Torah, says the Basco every day. So it starts in Adar, moves on to Nisan, moves into Sivan, and we have a whole season of redemption. Of course, Matan Torah is intimately connected to Yetzis Mitzrayim. We count the days. So we have a principle of Somchin Geula the Geula. We have the Geula of Adar Hengal Tiaskam Acharis Kereshis. We have the Geula of Nisan. We count from Nisan until we stand at Matan Torah. Continues the Mishnah. Call me, okay. V'omer, v'haluchos masa elokim heima, v'amichtav michtav elokim hu charus haluchos. This is a pasuk that we just had in Parshas Kitisa and Shemos, Paragraph and Base, after the Siddur Matan Torah. The luchos were the work of God. The writing was the work of God, engraved upon the tablets. And then I bolded the next words for you. Al tikrei charus. Don't read it engraved. Elacheus. What should you view the Torah as? Your ticket to freedom. The Torah is your ticket to freedom. It's your ticket out of the difficulties of this world, out of the shame of this world, out of the nisyonos of this world. That's the ultimate freedom. She'enecha ben chorin ala misha osik b'talmud Torah. The truest freedom only comes from he who is involved in a life of Talmud Torah. Lilmod ala lamed lishmar v'lasos u'hakayim.
And therefore, we are in this process of redemption. And in whose merit did the redemption come? And it's so interesting, in every stage of the Ba'ula process, we see that it is in the merit of the righteous, courageous woman, of course, the main player. In the story of Purim, the whole Megillah is called after her name, our sister in the palace, Queen Esther. And we move on to the Geula of Nisan, and by the Geula of Nisan, the Gemara famously tells us in Masechta Sota, Yad Aleph Amud Beis, we're going to look at the Gemara together. In the merit of the righteous woman, there is such a koach to the righteous woman that she can effect redemption, whether it is in the palace of Shushan Habira or it is in the slave labor fields of Egypt. Further on, in the aftermath of Matan Torah, the sin of Chayda Ega, the woman did not sin once again. They ensured continuity of Knesset's Yisrael. It's a different share, but in not giving their jewelry, the Ribbono Shel awarded them with Rosh Chodesh, with renewal. The woman has a very high degree of Amunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam, in Knesset's Yisrael, and in herself. She has a courage, a belief in her ability. And that's in whose merit the redemption comes. Sometimes we doubt our abilities, and that is the angle, pun intended, at which we will look at the mirrors. I'm going to quote from Miriam Peretz, who is a modern-day courageous woman. I am sure you have heard of her. Miriam Peretz is an Israeli woman who is a bastion of faith. If you ever have the opportunity to hear her speak, I highly recommend you should go and hear her speak. Before I read her book, I heard her speak at the Yad Zohar of Woodmere in November 2014, and I have been quoted from her ever since. Miriam lost two sons in battle in the IDF. Her son Uriel fell in 1998 in the north in battle with Hezbollah, and her son Eliraz fell in 2010 in battle with Hamas in the Gaza Strip. She has a book, if you haven't read it, just as a shout out, I highly recommend it. It's called Miriam's Song, the story of Miriam Peretz. I don't work for Gavin Publishing House. I'm just telling you, if you want to read the story of a woman with tremendous amunah. Miriam says, "I don't make an effort to be a hero. I just make an effort to live. And I see how much my kids worry and hurt." She has 4 Knesset children remaining. "I say to myself, stop, they suffered enough. I force myself to stand up out of a powerful will to live. It's strange to me that others view me as inspiring." She travels all over the world lecturing and inspiring. "When I am asked to come and strengthen others, I feel like asking, what are you talking about? Touch me. I'm flesh and blood. I am fragile and broken. True, you may not be stronger than anyone else physically, they tell me, but you are strong spiritually. And I say, how can you define a strong spirit? Am I an exceptional woman, says Miriam, because I kept on living? Whether I wanted to or not, we all get up and face a new day. The question is, what do we do with that getting up? What do we do with the new day that we will face? There is a goal in the fact of our very presence in this world. Every human being was created in order to make the world a little bit better than it is now. Every person comes into this world with a mission. The person who says good morning to a stranger in the street, he has done something good. If we look inside of ourselves, and that's the nakuda that I want to touch upon today, with the mirrors that played such an integral role in the redemption of Israel, we have to use the mirrors. We have to use our reflection. We have to use the palace of the king. We have to use the royal queen's bedroom to look inside of ourselves. And inside of ourselves, we will find, says Miriam, many rays of light. Our job is not to keep these rays of light to ourselves, but to discover and to diffuse them. And that is how we will make the world, says Miriam, a better place. The definition of mission, she says, is beyond me. There's only one mission. That belonged to Moshe, who led the Israelites to the promised land. Hineni, here I am. I am committing my entire soul out of a deep belief in the task I've given, out of belief in God, and out of belief in my mission. And we need to find and we need to explore our own strengths, and we need to find and we need to explore our own mission. And we need to find and we need to explore our capacity as today's women to bring the Geula. Mordechai says to Esther, Esther 4:13, Vayomer Mordechai lahashiv al Esther, al tadami v'nafsheich. What does that mean? What was this?
Don't imagine.
It's okay. Al tadami v'nafsheich li malei beis hamelech mikol ha-Yehudin. Everybody knows the story. He says, you have to go to the king. She says, I don't want to go to the king. And he says, do not think, dear Queen Esther, you will escape with your life more than any other Jews. It's your time in the spotlight. The time is right now. Rabbi Norman Lamb writes, Queen Esther, appraised of the nefarious plans of Haman, probably thought them the ranting of a madman. He could not possibly really mean, writes Rabbi Lamb, to do what he proclaimed to do. Nobody really believed that Haman had planned to annihilate each and every Jew. It was only when Mordechai spoke to her in words as cold, strong, and cutting as steel, that she came to her senses and averted a very great tragedy. And then Rabbi Lamb says, the democracies of the West, similarly, did not believe what Hitler meant to do, what he announced he would do in his Mein Kampf. They did not believe it, and they were silent. And as a result of their silence, Rabbi Lamb writes, in total, 18 million people were killed, and of course, 6 million Jews. And that is the testimony to silence. Do not think that you will escape with your life more than any other Jew. The time to speak up is now. Tadami, silence. Dumia is to be quiet. Why did we not react violently, he writes, to these plans of destruction as introduced by Hitler? The Jews, because of our innate character, simply never believed the reports. We could not believe such a thing was possible. We could not believe there was a man who would want it. La'ash m'glaru v'la'abe yiskola Yehudim. B'yam echad. Minarva adzakim taf v'nashim. Is such a thing possible? And does anyone have the courage and the power to stand up? And Queen Esther says, how can I go to the king? We know what Ahasuerus does to queens who do not listen. Off with their head. It could not possibly be true. And so they were silent. And Mordechai warns her, Al tadami b'nafshech, don't. Do not be silent at this very time. So Esther, Vatomer Esther, lahashiv al Mordechai. Leich knos es kol ha-Yehudim ha-nimtzaim b'shushan. Esther finds her courage. She finds the rays of light within herself. And she will not hold them within, but she will diffuse them, to paraphrase Miriam. Leich knos es kol ha-Yehudim ha-nimtzaim b'shushan. Go find all the Jews who can be found in Shushan. V'tzumu alai. Fast for me. V'al tohu v'al tishtu shloshes yamim. Do not eat and do not drink for 3 days. Laila v'yam. We will all fast together. The destiny of one Jew is the destiny of every Jew. And so I will come to the king against the law. If my destiny is to perish, then I will perish. But at least I have tried. At least I have spoken up. At least I have found my courage. And Rav Soloveitchik says so beautifully, apparently, there was a dual aspect in the choice of Esther as queen, says the Rav. There was love. Ahasuerus loved her. He tried a lot of women. He was an interesting king, this guy. It wasn't just a beauty pageant. It was more. They spent the night with the king. They spent 12 months in perfumes and oils. They must have stayed when they came in, but he liked them. And they spent a night with the king, and if he liked them, he called for them again. V'nikra b'shem. Oy v'voy, who does he love more than any other maiden? Esther. So Rav Soloveitchik says there was a dual aspect in the choice of Esther as queen. There was love. Plain, mundane, carnal love. Which represented Esther's looks, her physical beauty. Was there anything more to Esther? Was there something else? Was it just that he was captivated by her looks? by the night he spent with her? Was that all it was? She was more wonderful than all of the girls, all of the Basulas in 127 provinces? No, says Rav Soloveitchik. Ahasuerus was fascinated by something mysterious. He himself could not grasp what fascinated him about Esther. Her inner strength. We must look inside of ourselves, says Miriam, and we have to find our own rays of light because everyone comes here with a mission. This entire ploy, this entire setup, your entire being chosen as queen is the very moment your whole life has been preparing you for. Ahasuerus was captivated by something else, something he could not put his finger on, says the Rav. Inner strength. Esther's charm. He felt instinctively. He felt intuitively. This is not an ordinary woman. This is not a regular person. When he was in his, when he was in her presence, he felt his whole being was more exalted, was more elevated, was advanced to greater heights. Rashi tells us on the Megillah, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Vayibay Me'a Chashverosh, Hu Achashverosh, Hamolich, Mehodu, Ba'akush, Shevet, Asim, Me'a Medina. Why does it say, Vayibay Me'a Chashverosh, Hu Achashverosh? Obviously it's Bimei Achashverosh, and he's Achashverosh. Well, I'm pasuk, is that what you're telling me? So Rashi says, quoting the Gemara, Hu Birisho, Mitchilaso, Ba'atsofo. Don't think Achashverosh was such a good guy. The way the Megillah is written, we mask that he's really a bad guy also, but he's in cahoots with Haman. Who gives the ring? Who gives the signet? Ahasuerus gives permission. Who sits down with Haman to have a drink? At the Wannsee conference, after they came up with the final solution, the top brass in the SS drank cognac. Ahasuerus was not such a good guy. And he certainly had a way of choosing women. What captivated him about Esther? But he, Esther, no says chen b'nei kora'el. What is it about the Jewish woman? This mysterious persona, this fragile yet brave being that so captivated Ahasuerus. The Rav says, yes, he loved her. There was something physical about her that he enjoyed, but it was something much deeper. She had an inner strength, she had an inner charm, and he felt instinctively, he felt intuitively, says Rav Soloveitchik, this is not an ordinary person. What did the Almighty say to Moshe? I will take spirit from you and put it upon them. In your presence, people will feel different. In your presence, their minds will become brighter. You will raise them out of the depths of vulgarity, out of the depths of egocentricity. A person with chen, a person with charm, a person who captivates, makes others soar to dizzying heights. The mere presence, says Rav Soloveitchik, of a great person can accomplish this. And that is what Ahasuerus felt in the presence of Esther Hamalka. However, he was not so in tune with his feelings. He ignored this element. He chose her for her plain beauty, the same way he looked at Vashti. And yet, something in her intrigued him. He wanted to find out who she is, where she is from, and why she is so special. Tama Kitov Sachro lo yichba b'layi al-neira, Shlomo Melech says it, and the Mishnah Perek Amir Aleph, it's a pasuk from the Eishes Chayil. Tama Kitov Sachro lo yichba b'layi al-neira. She tastes that her merchandise is good and her candle does not go out at night. What does it mean her candle does not go out at night? So I read this brought down by Rabbi Pesach Kohen. Rav Soloveitchik also discusses it elsewhere, that in the quiet times, the men lead. In the quiet times, Sarah's in the tent, in the background, in the shadows, and in the turbulent times, in the times of national emergency, the Jewish woman steps to the forefront. The Jewish woman is the main character. Atikach Miriam hanaviya atus arnes atol biyada. Atetzena kol anashim echare v'tupi b'mcholos. Where did they have tambourines from? Talking about the season of Gubula. It was just crazy absurd. They just got away with their life. They're dancing. You have tambourines. You know, could you imagine in the panic of Egypt, the Shemos Perek Tesvav, Sukim Chavdu Chav Awek, Could you imagine the panic of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Bring the matzah, don't forget the babies, bring the jewelry from the neighbors. What else do we have to bring? Your staff is in your hand, your shoes are on your feet. Run, and Paro saying, everyone leave. And somebody says, oh, you don't forget the tambourines. That was the most important thing you had to take out of Egypt. So Rashi says, who remembers what Rashi says? That the song said, I can't hear. Very nice. So Rashi says, they were tzidkanios. They were righteous women. And they believed that Hashem, Shalakash Baruch Hu, Yaseh, Nisim, the Rebbe Shalom would do miracles. V'altziu tupim in Mitzrayim. And they took tambourines out of Egypt. Does Esther know? She's going to be saved. We know the end of the story. I'm not afraid. Are you afraid when we look out? Is anyone here ever at the edge of their seat saying, oh, what's going to happen? Maybe her head will be cut off like Vashti. We all know the end of the story. It's anticlimactic. Put yourself in her position. She doesn't know the end of the story.
Where did they get tambourines from?
What?
Where did they get tambourines from? They were slaves.
Where did they get
tambourines from?
From. They were slaves. I mean, like, when you think about it, like.
Where did they get what from?
Tambourines.
Tambourines?
In Egypt.
Maybe they took it from the Egyptians.
Maybe, yeah.
By not supposed to be trying, they took everything else from the Egyptians. They took the silver. There was reparations. Hashem commanded them to take reparations in our day and age, we would call it from the Egyptians. They took gold. We read it from the Brisbane Psar and Perikas of Abba Bereshus. We read it at the Pesach Haggadah. Yadoa teida ki geri yazarecha beretz lo'an va'avadu vinu osam arba me'ashana va'achre chen yetzir b'chush gadol. So upon Pipashim Shah, we did, we were slaves for 116 years, in Egypt for 210, so we never got a day of payment. We were thrown into the river, so that was our reparation. So God said, when you leave, please go ask each woman from the neighbor. So maybe that was one of the things they taught them. Batomer Esther la shiva Mordechai, on your handout, Leich Knosis, Kol HaYehudim, Hanim Tzaim, B'Shushan, V'Tzumu Alai, Atochu V'Al Tishtu Shloshes Yamim, Lai HaVeyam. Look where Salvechuk says, and then we're going to move on to the Gemara. Rav Soloveitchik says Providence selected as divine agent not only Mordechai but Esther as well. God willed that both male and female appear as actors on the historical stage. Judaism has never discriminated against the woman. From the days of Sarah, the woman was on par with man as the history maker. We know, say for Bereshis, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Hey. They were with Lot, and they were with Sarah, v'es kol rechusha m'sher rachashu, and they took all the possessions that they amassed. And Rashi says, why did they take? V'es ha'nefesh asher asu b'charan. So Rashi says they were with Lot, Avram, and Sarah, and they left their custom, and they left Charan, and they're journeying to the new land. So they take Lot, and they take all their possessions, and they take the souls that they made in Charan. So Rashi famously says, Perek Yud Beis, plus the king, what does Rashi say? Avram Megayer Es HaAnashim, Visara Megayer Es HaAnashim. She was a partner with Avram. She wasn't second fiddle. She was a main player. She was in the spotlight. And Esther was not second fiddle. If anything, she's the star of the show. From the days of Sarah, the Jewish woman was on par with man as history maker. Over and over, you have Arna Moshe and you have Miriam. You have Avram and you have Sarah. You have Amram, the Gadol Dor, says the Gemara, and you have Yocheved. You have Mordechai, you have Esther. Both Mordechai and Esther were created in the image of God. Both were endowed, I'm reading from your hand over on page one, with dignity, with majesty. Both, man and woman, possessed great talent. Both were charismatic persona. Both were called to service. Both were called to make history. To find the ray of light and to diffuse it outward. God assigned equally important roles to Mordechai and Esther because both were metaphysically and spiritually worthy of the task. And therefore, it's not an accident that this in this season of Geula, there is such a focus on the power, on the kochos, on the amuna of the Jewish woman, from the palace of Shushan to the tambourines that they took, to what we're now going to explore in the Gemara and Masechta Sota. What does it mean? B'zchus nashim tzidkanios, but also adar nigalu Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. There is something very great in the Jewish woman indeed. There is something intriguing. There is something mysterious. There is something charismatic, powerful, hopeful. Even a rasha like Achashverosh wants to know more about this woman. V'ati Esther noseis chein. Let us look at this beautiful piece of Gemara together. Towards the bottom of page, Ramaseches Sota, Yod Aleph Amud Beis. Darash Rabbi Avira, Bischus and Bischar, Nashim Tzidkani Yoshahayu Ba'oso, Adar Nikali Yisrael Mitzrayim. Why did the Jews get out of Egypt? What marriage did we have? Go back to Amram. He divorced his wife. The Gemara says, Amram said, L'shav Anu Amelim, we're working for nothing. And when Amram divorced his wife, everybody else divorced us. If the Gadol Dor does something, everyone's going to do something. There will be no Jewish children born. It was a dark and pitiless time. It was a time of Hester Panim. It was a time of Kolad Ben Yilad HaYar Tashlichu. It was a time of Re'isam Al Havnayim Im Ben Huvamitim Oto. The minute the baby emerges from the between the legs of the mother, crack his neck. We're going to bring children into this world. The man lost hope. How did we keep going? How did Knesset Yisrael continue? B'schar Nashim Tzidkani Yoshayu Ba'oso Ador Negal Yisrael Mitzrayim. Let's look at this together. B'shash Ahochos L'shov Mayim. And the Jewish woman would go to draw water. HaKosh Baruch Hu Mizamein Lahem Dagim K'tanim B'kadeyem. So HaKosh Baruch Hu would prepare for them in the wells of water. It wasn't just wells of water. There were small fish. And those small fish would go into the pitcher. So they had pitchers, they had mirrors, they had tambourines, they had some possessions. It was a time of infanticide, and it was a time of Hester Panim, but they did have some possessions. Mizamein lehem dagim ktanim b'kadeim, so the Almighty would prepare for them small fish in their pitchers. V'sho'avos, and when they drew up the pitcher, they found mechatz ha'mayim u'mechatz ha'dagim. What was in the pitcher? Half fish. Half water, uvaos, and they would come, and what would they do with this pitcher of water and fish? Visho fitos shte kadeus. They would place two pots on the fire. Achasha chamin, that's chamin, hot water. V'achashal dagim. They would bring these fish home, and Hashem prepared the fish for them miraculously in the well, and they would draw it up, and they would have fish, and they would have water. Umolichos eitza ba'alehem l'sadeh. What would they do with these pots? They heated fish, they cooked some fish, they heated some water. We have to remember it was a time of oppression, of a time of avodas parech, a time, because also when the men did the women's work, the women had to do the men's work. It was such a demeaning time. Umolichos eitza ba'alehem l'sadeh. They would go out to their husbands in the field. Umarachisos osan. They would wash their husbands. V'sachor otan. They would anoint them. U'ma'achilor otan. U'mashkor otan. V'nizkako lahen bein shofetayim. They would feed them. They would anoint them. They would give them to drink. They would have relations there between the borders of the fields. There was a courage. There is a tenacity of spirit. There is a hope for a better future. One unknown diarist commented upon seeing two pregnant women in the Warsaw Ghetto. If in these dark and pitiless times, Jewish women can still bring new children into the world, then at least symbolically, this is great daring and this is great courage. These women would go and they would take pots of water and they would take pots of fish and they would give their husbands to drink and they would give their husbands to eat. And they would anoint them, they would have relations. The Kevan Shem Mis Abos, Ba'os Lebatei, they were expecting, they became pregnant, they would go home. The Kevan Shem Agiyaz Man Molidehe, and the time came for them to give birth. Holchos Vyodos Besada Tachas HaTabuach. They went out to where to give birth, it had to be in secret, it couldn't be in their house. They went to some hidden place in the field, under the apple tree, Shenemar Tachas HaTabuach Aratichah, under the apple tree I aroused you, famous pasuk from Shir HaShirim. So they would go, and they would have these children. And imagine the courage and daring it took. We should never have to imagine. We should never know. The courage and the daring it took to birth children in this time, knowing that if the Egyptians even heard the baby crying, It was into the river. V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and as a result and a reward for their labor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sholech M'Shmei Maram, the Almighty sent from heaven, Mi Sheminakir U'Mishaper Osam. He sent heavenly angels to straighten out, to beautify, to clean the baby. Just like a midwife who beautifies the child, Shifra and Pua Shifra, because she was Mishaperet Atavalad. So the Ribbono Shel Olam sent angels to clean, to beautify the child. Like the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, I'm on page 2 of your handout. Like the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Umawadatayech Biyam Huladis Osach. And in regard to your birth and the day you were born, lo karat shareich, there was no one to cut your umbilical cord. U'bamayim lo ruchatz, there was no one to wash you, lemishi, to clean you. So who cleaned them? There was nobody there in the fields with the mothers. Ribbono Shel Olam awarded them. U'milakei lahen shnei evalim. The angels brought to them two round loaves. So the commentators explain it was two stones. The angels brought two stones to the baby, miraculous, echad shal shaman, the echad shal devash. The baby suckled from these stones. It was a time of miracles. They suckled from the stones oil, and they suckled honey. Shenemer v'yinikeu devash misala v'shemen. They suckled from the rock, sustenance and nutrients. It was a time of malam in the temple. But what does this Gemara teach you? That when we go out of our comfort zone, when we go malam in the temple, when we go beyond what we think is possible, so the Almighty rewards us in kind with malam in the temple. Angels appear to take care of these babies. The cave and shemakirim behan mitzrim. So what happened? The mitzrim realized that these women are having babies. And didn't Pharaoh say no one's allowed to have any males and every male into the river? And these women are somehow procreating. Are they procreating? Because they took pots and they took hot water and they took food and they refused to give up. They came in Shemakirim Be'er Mitzrim Ba'im Lahargan. What happened? The Mitzrim came and they wanted to kill the babies. They wanted to kill the women, they wanted to kill the babies like Haman. V'nasa lahem nes, a miracle was done. V'nivla'in Bekarka. What does that mean? Nivla'in Bekarka? They were swallowed up. The babies were swallowed up in the ground. Miraculously, it's very, very miraculous. It's not. We are ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim. Every word of Chazal is true. There was a miracle. The babies were swallowed up in the ground. Umbavi'in shivarim v'charshin al gaban. What does that mean? What's a shar? An ox. So the Egyptians would come and they tried to investigate. Didn't we just see our baby here? Didn't we just see a baby here? Where's the baby? Where's the baby? In the karka, in the ground. So they brought oxen and they plowed over the field. Shenemar, al gabi charshu charshim. Over my back, they plowed. After the Egyptians left, the babies would spring out like grass of the field. As the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, we say this Pasuk in the Haggadah, I have made you so numerous like the grass of the field. Imagine if Esther had given up on her tafkid and said, I can't go. Imagine if the Jewish women in Mitzrayim gave up like the men and said, we can't do it. Imagine if the Tzidkanius by the Egel Hazad gave their jewelry along with the men. Imagine if Miriam Peretz chose to stay in bed with the covers over her head, or worse, giving in to her pain instead of choosing to live each day anew. The cave on Shemisgadim Baim Adarim Adarim Levatehim. The babies miraculously survived by the faith of their mothers, the tenacity of their mothers, and divine intervention. And they would grow up and they came home in flocks and flocks. So now you have groups of Jewish children, and the Egyptians can't figure out what's going on. The more they afflicted us, the more we grew. Batirbi, batigdali, we say this pasuk in the Haggadah, batavoi, ba'adei adayim. We became many and we grew and we came as ornaments. And the Gemara says, al tukri ba'adei adayim. Don't read it as ornaments. Ala ba'adrei adarim. We came as flocks. There were so many children that we came as flocks. And this is how we were saved. And this is how the Gemara, and I'm sure you have all heard the famous Ma'amar Chazal, Bizchus Nashim Tzidkanios, Bizar Nashim Tzidkanios, Ba'oso Adar, Nigali Yisrael Mitzrayim. And look what the Gemara has to say about the women. It was miraculous. Because we went out of our comfort zone, the Ribbono Shel Olam helped us, the Ma'alim in the Teva. Because Esther went out of her comfort zone. Clearly she doesn't want to go. Everybody knows that if you go to the king, if you're not called, it's off with your head. Look what he did to the first wife who didn't listen to the rules. She has no choice. But she embraces her task. And these women, in a sense, had no choice, but they embraced their task. And we have to ask ourselves where we fit into this picture. Life is not easy individually, and life is not easy nationally. And we have to ask ourselves, when we look at our own selves, do we have the courage to persevere? Do we see those sparks of light within? So we understand, lo yech babalai l'neva. Yes?
I just want to say, the reason that the women had to go out in the fields and have relations in the fields is because they weren't really allowed to live with their, husbands. Is that the lachatz that talks about the Hagada? That they couldn't have relations in the house?
Okay.
Is that why they had to go out? I mean, it's not, that could see us a little bit, but I guess they had no choice, but why could they have relations with their husband in the house? Mm-hmm. They weren't living together?
One of the things that the Kli Yakar, when the Kli Yakar explains how every maka is mida keneged mida. So the Kli Yakar explains that by boils, we know that the Egyptians, one of the things that boils did, it prevented them from having relations, mida keneged mida. They separated the Jewish man from the Jewish woman, and therefore mida keneged mida, they are separated from their wives. So perhaps that's sort of what you're touching upon. But are you asking about the tznius issue here?
Well, not even so much, because I guess it was survival. But no, my question.
Right, that's what I was going to say. It was the time
why they had to do it in the field, as opposed to where they were probably not living.
That's also where they found their husbands, which we'll see in Rashi. Rashi's a little bit different than the Gemara, but Rashi elaborates as well. So since you let's keep going. We just finished the parashios that deal with Mishkan in the end of Sefer Shemos. Everything that I teach is very Torah-based. Hafolch ba'dukulaba, the answers to everything are in Torah. It's the beginning and the end of all. And we just finished the parashios that deal with Malachas and Mishkan. And we're now opening the book of Vayirpa this coming Shabbos. And we will learn the halachos of Karbanos and what happens in the Mishkan that we just built. The last five parshas of the book of Shemos, we built the Mishkan. And one of the Kalim in the Mishkan, on page 2 of your handout, we just finished the Gemara, Misach HaSofta. Shemos, it says Shemos 30, which is Shemos Perek Lamed. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Vasisa ki ar nechoshes, v'kana nechoshes. So there was one kli in the Mishkan that stood in the chatzer. It was made of copper, and it was a kiar. A kiar is translated as a ladder, or a reservoir for water, and from this reservoir, the space in the Kohanim washed. V'nasata also bein o'a mo'e to bein v'zbech, v'nasata shama mayim, it is to hold water. V'rachatsu ar nuvanu mimenu esedeim v'esra glayhem, and before the Kohanim came to serve in the Mishkan, a Kohen who did not wash with water from the kiar, which actually chay of misa, he had to wash his hands and feet with water from the kiar. When they come to the o'a mo'e, they should wash with water, v'lo yamusu, or when they come to the mizbech, the sharis, to bring the isha for Hashem, they have to wash their hands and feet, I'm still in Shemos Perek Lamed, so they will not die. So it's very famous, and I'm sure that you've heard it, whether you learned it with me in Parsha class or heard it elsewhere, that the nechoshes of the kiar was made from the mirrors of the woman. And I was preparing for this shiur, specifically thinking of all the women that play a role in the season of Geula. I was thinking, is there another aspect to the fact that it was made of mirrors beyond what we typically think? I thought that maybe there's a lesson. Rav Shamshir Falkirsch says the mirrors were not melted down. It was clearly recognizable that they were the mirrors of the woman. So in other words, all the other materials donated for the Mishkan, the gold, the silver, the copper, it was melted down. And then it was used for other purposes, the gold to cover the beams of the Mishkan, to plate the Mizbeach, the gold of the Mizbeach, the silver to make the sockets. When it came to the Kiar, says Rav Shamshir and Falhirsch, the Kiar was made of mirrors. It was recognizable that they were the mirrors of the woman. So you could go to the chatzer of the Mishkan and you could say, that's my mirror. I see my mirror. Now the Gemara did not actually talk about the mirrors yet. We're going to go to Rashi to talk about the actual mirrors. But what was the purpose of seeing the mirrors? Talk about not seeing. So does everyone need to know that this is a mirror? Seriously, you use this to put on makeup? That's going into the Mishkan. And I was thinking, Davka, through the lens of preparing this year, that maybe there's a very deep meaning to these mirrors. Maybe it's not for other people to see the mirrors, but it's for us to see our very own reflection. And sometimes we look in the mirror, maybe not you, me, and you think I'm not good enough. I'm not courageous enough. You're faced with an issue that you think I cannot possibly overcome. It's too difficult. Everybody knows if you go to the king, then you're not called because he has not extended the Sharvit Hazav. It's off with your head. Look in your mirror. You're in a palace. Maybe you have a whole wall of mirrors. I was in the mansions in Newport, Rhode Island this past summer. It's mind-blowing, literally mind-blowing. Look in the mirror, Queen Esther. Umi yodei ilai kazod higat lemalchut. Your whole mission is preparing you. Your whole life is for this very time. It was easy for those nashim tzidkaniyos to draw water, to cook fish, to go to the fields, maybe go out of their tznias zone. Was it easy? I imagine it was not. And maybe the mirrors were meant to be a reflection for ourselves. Not for the Kohanim, and not for other people, but to remember what the power, the courage, and the emuna that exists within each and every one of us. Look what Rashi has to say, and you might know this Rashi. You may have seen it before, either with me in class or on your own. It's a very, very beautiful Rashi. It's the last source that you have on page 3. I'm skipping a little bit ahead. Do we see a woman of grace, of charm, of royalty? Vayav ha-melech as Esther mikol ha-nashim, v'tisachin v'chesed lefanu mikol ha-psulos, v'yosem keser malchus b'rosho v'yimlichet tachas v'ashti. Sometimes the world sees a queen, and I see a maidservant. Do I see? Do I recognize? Do I appreciate? Do I value my very own self? Look in the mirror. Look what Abbas Yisrael can accomplish. Even Esther had doubts. Keili, keili, lama zavtani, v'chol k'mishu asi, divrei shagasi, the Gemara tells us on her way to the king, she recited Kapitel Chav Beza, Tehillim, chapter 22. And in chapter 22 of Tehillim, Kapitel Chav Beza, she expresses her bewilderment, her fear. My God, where are you? You're so far from me. Others see a queen, and she's not so sure. Let's see what Rashi has to say. B'maros Hatzavos. What a Rashi. It complements the Gemara Masechta Sota that we just saw, but it gives different details. B'nos Yisrael Hayubi Adan Maro. Please follow with me. Shera'o Bahen Keshehei Mis Kashto. The Jewish women had in their, and so they had tambourines, and they had pots, and they had a place to make a fire, and they also had mirrors. What did they use these mirrors for when they decorated themselves, when they got dressed? Before they left the house, they wanted to look nice. We already said that the kiar in the Mishkan was made from the copper of the women's mirrors, and they did not hold back from bringing these to donate to the Mishkan. Wow. Moshe did not want these mirrors. Mo'eis Moshe Behem. In Hebrew, in modern day Hebrew, that is a strong translation. Some of you are smiling if you know what the word means in modern day Hebrew. It's hard to say that about Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want these mirrors. Ipnei Shaisuim the Yetzirah. Because they were made for the work of the Yetzirah. What does a woman use a mirror for? To beautify herself. If you don't care how you look, you would never look in the mirror. It's true. If I never cared how I look, I would never look in the mirror at all. Why do I look in the mirror? Make sure I look nice. That's going into the Mishkan. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu kabel ki elu chavivin alai min hakol. And I love that line because what is Ribbono Shel referring to? Hashem said, take them. These are more dear to me than all. What is he referring to? Elu chavivin alai min hakol. Does that mean the mirrors, the maros, are more precious to me than all? Or does that mean the women are more dear to me than all? Sha'al yadeihem ha'amidu ha'nashim tzeva'os rabos v'mitzvah. You think these mirrors are milus? You think they're yetzer hara? The mirrors, and I'm adding the nakuda that I never realized before. Why dafka a mirror? Forget who else looks in the mirror. I need to look in the mirror. And if other people see malchus, if Achashverosh, lowly Achashverosh, could see that Esther is a queen, if Mordechai knew she could do it, then who is a Bas Yisrael to see otherwise? If Sarah could protect her child and step out of the tent, if Yocheved and Miriam could save the Jewish babies, Batir Ena HaMiyados Esa Alokim, Velo Asu Kasher Diber Leim Par Melech Mitzrayim, if they could take tambourines, if Esther could go to the king, if Miriam Peretz can continue to inspire all over the world and find her courage and diffuse her light, and what shall we say? Look in the mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin says, Kashem sha'adam tzarich la'amim ba'ashem, kei tzarich ha'adam la'amim ba'atzma. Just like a man is obligated to believe in God, so too he must believe in himself. And in this season of Gula, which, yes, begins now in Adar, Somchim Gula LeGula, do not fool yourselves and do not forget and do not become complacent because it's in our merit that the Gula came. Let's continue in the Rashi. Kishahayu ba'aleihim yegeim. So again, this complements Masechta Sota, but it tells us a little bit of a different story. They both tell us two different things. We already saw the Gemara inside, the fish, the pots, the anointing. Fascinatingly, the babies being hidden in the ground, the Egyptians coming to plow over them. Rachmana Litzlan, the Nazis would go into homes, they would break down walls, they would shoot into the mattresses. So in the times of Egypt, before guns, they took oxen and they plowed over the earth. It's the same thing. It's just a different tool. They're looking for the hidden Jews. Kishahayi ba'aleim. So this also answers your questions. Why dafka to the field? Oh, that's why you're smiling. That's what you're going to say. Here's the answer to your question. Kishahayi ba'aleim yegeim ba'avodas parach. They're in the fields. And the husbands are exhausted. Maybe the husbands are unable to come home.
Or they would be too tired.
Or they didn't have the koach to come
home. They would be too tired when they came home.
The women would go, and they would feed them, and they would give them food and drink in the fields. And they would feed the husbands. And they would take those mirrors. Those mirrors that Moshe said are used for the purpose of the Yetzer Hara. The women would take the mirror. Today when I say this, I say today, you know, if you want to take a selfie with somebody, so you have to put your head very close. Otherwise, you're not both going to get in the street. Every time you see two people in a selfie, what are they doing? They're smushing their heads together. There's barely room for three. So they would take these mirrors. Every woman would look with her husband in the mirror. Today you would say she's flirtatious. She seduces him with words, her own husband. He's exhausted. Not tonight, and not tomorrow night, and not next month, but we get out of here. But how are we going to get out of here? We don't have children. Knesset Yisrael will end. There will be no more. Lomar, what did she say, this brave Jewish woman? Ani na'am mimcha, I'm more beautiful than you. Mitovkach mevi'os leva'aleim lidei taiva. They would bring their husbands to a state of desire. They would have relations. Umis avos v'yodo sham. They would conceive, and they would give birth there. Shen Ne'emar, we saw this pasuk quoted in the Gemara. Tachas atapuch aratecha, under the apple tree I raised you. V'zeh shen Ne'emar b'maros atzovus. That's what the pasuk means. You have the pasuk on the bottom of page 2. And the mirror was made, the very last pasuk on page 2, by the mirrors of the woman who congregated. V'yasa sakiyar nechoshes. Just turn back for 1 minute to the bottom of page 2. V'yasa sakiyar nechoshes. The kiyar was made from copper, the laver. V'askana nechoshes, and the base from copper. V'maros ha'tzavos ha'shertzavu pesach olmoid. With the mirrors of the woman who congregated by the tent of meeting. Going back to the Rashi. And that's what it means, v'maros ha'tzavos. V'na'asa ha'kiyar mehem. So you could go to the chatzer of the Mishkan, and you could say, that's my mirror.
I mean, it's six babies at once. That was a joke, right?
Sorry, like Dino Song was talking. Go on.
Had six babies at once, they had.
That what?
They each had would have six babies at a time, correct?
Shisha b'keres echad. So that's what the Medrash says somewhere else. Yes. Right, so they were... Hashem, like we said, it goes back to Lamalim in Hataba. It wasn't Bidarach HaTeva, that angels should feed the children, and honey, and wine, and oil from a rock. V'nasa kiyar mehem shulisum shalom bet ish le'ishto, and the kiyar which is used to test the sota was made from these mirrors. V'teidah, I skipped a few words of Rashi, where he talks about the sota. V'teidah l'chashahein marus mamash. Rashi, like Rosh Hashanah Fal Hirsch, not in that order, I should say Rosh Hashanah Fal Hirsch, like Rashi says, they were actual mirrors. You go out and check your makeup and the mirrors of the kiyar and the chaser. Shaharei Namar, okay. He proves how he knows it was actual mirrors. It was not nechosha, says Rashi, that was donated for the other malachas of Mishkan. It was separate nechosha, separate copper, purely from the woman. So says Rabbi Tanchuma, Rabbi Unklus explains the mirrors of the woman. And he's quoting. And sometimes in life, like Esther Hamantha, like the woman in Egypt, we feel in a very difficult situation or a very difficult position. And we don't know if we have the koach to persevere. And the reality is that we need to look inside of our very own selves. And we need to find the koach within, and we need to realize how strong Abbas Yisrael is, and that the continuity of Knesset Yisrael depends on our strength, on our reserves, on our ability to not give up. Lo yichba b'layla neva. Layla represents a difficult time. Layla represents galus. Layla represents Hester Panim. Layla represents a lack of clarity. Miriam Peretz says in her book, after her son Elirez was killed, the second one, she says, I thought to myself, this is not normal. Is God's computer, she writes, stuck on the pirate's family? Did I not already sacrifice, she says? Is it normal for one family to lose two sons in the IDF? And Miriam says, I realized that the question of why is getting me nowhere. So now I ask, says Miriam, what can I learn from my experience? What can I do with my pain? That's exactly what Esther Hamalka asked, and I already quoted from Kapitel Chav Beis of Tehillim, and people don't realize this is an insight of Avsham Shafal Hirsch. Avsham Shafal Hirsch in his beautiful commentary on Tehillim. When the Pasuk says, Keili, Keili, Lama Tzeh, Ala Yael, Shal Shachar, Mizmor, Le David, Keili, Keili, Lama Zavtani, the capital that Esther Hamalka said, Rachok, Mishuasi, Dibre, Shalasi, of Hirsch says, don't read it Lama Azavtani. God, why have you have abandoned me? How should you read it? So many of you know the Bard. I don't know if you know the source. You can go look up Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch's commentary on Zehlen, the great German scholar in Talmud Chacham from the 1800s. Go look in his Tehillim, chapter 22, verse 2, and you will see it there. Do not read it, why have you abandoned me? Read it, for what purpose is my suffering? And Miriam says, in the first few days after Eliezer was killed, she asked herself why. And she realized, quote, this question is getting me nowhere. So now I ask, what can I do? For what purpose? What can I learn? Leich Knosis Kol HaYudim HaNinsim B'Shushan. I don't know why this is happening. But what can we do? What role can I play? How can I affect a more positive light in this world? And if it means taking tambourines out of Egypt, as irrational and absurd as it seems, nobody's at the edge of their seats in the Megillah because you know the end. But maybe she thinks she's walking to her death. Yet she dons royalty. It might be kasher avadati avadati, but I will go to the field with my pot of water and my pot of fish and my anointment, and I'll put some Vaseline on his lips, and I will give him a few bites of sardine, and I will take my mirror and I will say, honey, who's more handsome? Even when I don't feel like it, because I know Knesset Yisrael depends upon it. The same courage in every narrative, in every generation, in every story. Okay. Let's look at the Ibn Ezra before we conclude. We did almost every source here. Let's look at the Ibn Ezra before we conclude on page 3. The Ibn Ezra says, with page 3, we did the Rashi right. Betan Hatsovos, Kimishba Kol Anashim Lehit Yafo. The Ibn Ezra says, the law of all women is to make themselves beautiful. Lehit Yafo, Yafab. Lir Ok, name Bechol Boker. Look at this. It wasn't so different in the Middle Ages. What did you do when you wake up in the morning? You look in a mirror. I can't make it up. So we advance. In ancient Egypt, they only had copper. As time goes on, what did we discover? Glass. Either way, bottom line, what do you do? Oh, the Roman period. Very nice. Oh, yes, there's Roman glass that's been excavated in Israel. Correct. Nechoshes is zuchuchis. Thank you. They wore a pe'er of a kavan asum shlo. Pe'er means glory. They wore some kind of glory or splendor on top of their head, and they would fix it up in the morning. You want to know how you look? V'hine ha'yu b'Yisrael nashim ovdos Hashem. You have women who serve God. Shasaru mitayvos ha'olam. They remove themselves. This is post Egypt from the taivas of this world. V'nasnu maro sehim nidava. And what did it do when it came from Malachas HaMishkan? They gave these mirrors as a contribution. They understood that they do not have a need anymore to beautify themselves. Now, of course, we should always be beautiful. And of course, we should always go out looking presentable. But in the matzah, they had no use for the seduction of their husbands anymore in the way that they needed to in Egypt. That time period was over. They survived. Instead of having to draw water and cook fish and anoint, they came every day to the entrance of the tent of meeting to daven. They came to the Mishkan, this week's parasha, last week's parasha, to hear words of Torah. There were many such women that came. This is very important. The Torah in regard to the Kiyar and the Mishkan does not tell you the measurements of the Mishkan, like it tells you the measurements in the Beis HaMikdash of the Kiyar and the Shlomo. But Rak Nasa, I underlined it. Bechol Hamaro Shehiviu. What did the Ibn Ezra just say? Not one mirror was turned away. Not only like Rashi or Sham Shem Falher say, could you visibly see the mirrors? But Moshe put out a call and he said, there's enough material, don't bring any more. When it came to the mirrors, every single mirror was accepted. Every woman should be able to go and look at her own reflection. And it was a little bit of an epiphany to me. It's not for other people to see. It's for you to see the courage and the beauty within your very own self. Every person, says Miriam, comes to the world with a mission. And we have rays and sparks of light. And our job is to diffuse those rays and to diffuse those sparks of light, just like Esther, who was able to save the Jews. I want to end with a beautiful thought that I heard in the name of my daughter. Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro from Florida spoke in my daughter's school, and he told the girls this Dvar Torah. She is in 10th grade at TMM. And he was talking about the concept of geula. He was speaking to a group of high school females. He was talking about the concept of geula, that every geula is in the merit of a woman. And he told them something beautiful. It's in the merit of the Aim B'Yisrael, the mothers of Israel, Aleph Mem. Aim, Aleph Mem, the mothers. The first geula, Aaron Moshe. That's the geula of Nisan. That's the Rishis. The next geula of Acharis, Esther and Mordechai. And the final geula of Ezos Hashem, Eliyahu and Mashiach Tzidkenu. Just like we effected redemption in the season of geula from Adar the Acharis to Nisan the Rishis, and we have explored it. Al-Medal Achas Badendek. Yes, there are many more sources we could go through. But in the time that we have had, we explored well that it is the Aim B'Yisrael, Aaron, Moshe, / Miriam, it's also men, Esther, Mordechai, Eliyahu, and Mashiach. But someone came over to me and mentioned to me that if we're talking about the courage and the strength and the amunah of the woman, she'etziv tupim mimitzrayim, ani ma'amin, is also what letters? Aleph and men. Amuna Shalema Bavias Hamashiach. Ba'aval Pisha Yisma in Kalza Kakalo. Bechol Yom Shava, because every day we wake up and every day you look in the mirror. Because we saw it inside. It's the custom, it's the law of the woman to wake up and fix the pair that's on top of their head. How could I be more beautiful today? But not externally beautiful. Yes, you could be. How can I tap into the internal beauty to be part of that journey of Aleph Men? Of the righteous woman who affect geula, Be'ezras Hashem, as we did in the past, halavai, halavai, ad basa, you should be zocha, that the current mothers of Israel, like Miriam Peretz, Leah Golden, Zahava Shaul, should see nechama, we should be zocha, benisan nigalu, uvenisan asidim ligal, amen ve'amen. Thank you, ladies. The source to us.